Welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race recap show for RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Season 7 Episode 1 titled Legends. My name's Joe but Tans and I have COVID. I am joined, as always, by a co-host who likes it down under. From the podcast Bravo Bravo Effing Bravo, please say
Security! Security!
To Nathan Brown.
Hello, Nathan Brown. How are you?
Oh, so you do talk.
Yeah, I do talk. It's just, I'm going to, for this episode, I'm going to have my friend here, I think his name is Jake, read the script part just to save my voice as much as possible.
That.
Yeah. So, how are you, Nathan Brown? Welcome to the season of RuPaul's Drag Race. Recap All-Stars Season 7, Superstars, Legend. I don't know, the longest title in the fucking history of the show.
Oh, so many words. Legendary,
so many
legends.
Words. Legendary, legends, all kinds of shit. But anyway, how are you, Nathan Brown?
I'm good. I'm happy to be here, and I'm loving the huskiness in your voice, by the way.
Thank you. I do it. I don't really have COVID. Sometimes I just like to do this voice, because we have, people don't know this, there's a Kathleen Turner voice sounding like competition they have here in the country, and I often like to have that, win that competition. I'm trying to practice for it.
Win it.
Now, Nathan Brown, as you know, we have a service called Patreon where we offer all kinds of extra content. If you go to patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia, you are going to get shows like Being Alive Again. You're going to get Throwing Down the Tea. You're going to get, depending on the level, you might get Season 4 with me and Taylor. You're going to get a new show with me and Lori that I haven't really discussed much what it is, but it is so good. So good. Right. And then we have this show early with no commercials. You have Just Between Us Girls. I mean, all kinds of shit, right?
Murder House Flip.
Murder House Flip. Yeah. All kinds of fantastic shows. Oh, also Murder Tonight. You know, all kinds of crazy shows. Oh, yeah. Crazy, crazy shows right there. Because everyone at home is lucky because my voice can't do too much. Patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. Go there. Support my voice.
Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Anyway, all right. Let's just jump because not only, I mean, I like talking to you, everything, Nathan, and you're the host. And if, by the way, for everyone listening, this week it's me and Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
But from here on out, because I want it to be me and you, just family today, right?
Tonight it's just family.
Tonight is just family. But tomorrow we're going to be joined, our next episode will be joined by Lori Roggenkamp. And we will have a rotating set of third co-hosts coming in to host the show and help out. But today it's just me and you. But there's a lot to talk about today, so let's just
This is a big fucking episode.
It's a big episode, so let's actually jump right into it right now.
This week, 8 crowned queens sashay into the workroom and back in the non-elimination competition. The girls throw shade in the reading challenge. Naomi Campbell gives a master class in runway. The queens each write a verse and choreograph a routine, and on the runway, the queens are down with crowns. Shea Cooley and Monet Exchange are named the top 2 queens of the week and lip-sync for the right to block a competitor from getting a badge next week. After all is said and done, Shea is crowned the winner of the lip-sync and chooses to block Trinity the Tuck. Nathan, name 2 things you liked about the episode and 1 thing you did not.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we have to say Shea Cooley from now on.
It's really embarrassing that Nathan... I'm not saying Jake doesn't know how to, he's not really a big Drag Race fan.
Jake's like Lori.
Yeah, Jake's, well, you know, strangely, Jake still knows more than Lori.
You don't want to hear what Jake said in 2006.
Oh, no. So. Well, no, you can hear what Jake was fine in 2004. Oh, God, 2004. You don't even want to know.
And for the record, I love Lori's 2006 comedy bits.
Oh.
Jake.
Wow, Jake.
Why does that need to go on the record?
Yeah. And what record is this? Maybe later I'll play some of the things Jake said in 2004.
Yeah, maybe. 2 things I like. So I liked the change in format. I think last time I was speaking with you about Drag Race UK versus the world, we were like, oh, this format is getting pretty tired with the queens eliminating each other. So it was good to see that no one's going home this season, because I think apart from like maybe one exception, if anyone went home first, I would have been pretty disappointed. So it's good that we get to this with this cast because it's a solid cast.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the other thing I like was that, yeah, the cast is great. Like when they first announced the queens, I was like, oh, we're missing Alaska. We're missing Bob. We're missing some good queens. And I was like, eh, we've seen some of these quite recently.
Yeah.
But I think it's a good mix. There's no boogers. And so.
Yeah, there's no boogers. You're right. Correct. Well, I don't know.
Well, I mean, like, the last All-Stars had Serena Chacha. There's no Serena Chacha now. So it's great. So, and they're all like, yeah, I don't know, vibing. Those are the two things I like. The one thing I didn't like was this RuPaul doing that number where he's just standing still waving his arms. Like, it's an 80-minute long episode.
Mm-hmm.
You could have cut it.
Yeah.
If you're looking for something to cut, that was it.
Yeah. It's just her standing in place and just moving her arms. Okay. So one of the things people always complain about this show is they think, well, I get lumped in with negative Nancy Taylor, but they think that we are hard on the show, that we hate this show, that why do we even fucking watch this show? I can't speak for Taylor, okay?
But I can.
Oh, you can? What would you say?
Taylor would say, I liked the 80s references and I'm going to Disneyland.
Yes, exactly. He likes the 80s references and going to Disneyland. Yeah, that was a pretty good. You know what? Jake has an impression too. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Jake, do you want to do your impression of Taylor the Latte Boy?
I have diabetes, asshole.
Oh. Weird.
Jake.
Weird. Jake.
Going in.
Okay, Jake, that's a weird impression, but okay.
Jake's got some attitude.
Yeah. So anyway, wait, hold on. I think Jake has something else.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Jake, what? Earlier we were talking about Lori Roggenkamp. Do you have any thoughts on Lori Roggenkamp and any? Do you want to give them now before we do anything here?
I like the one bit about how Asian people can't drive.
Wait, what? Jake. Jake, this is very, very offensive. And I don't know, did Lori have a bit about how Asian people can't drive?
Yeah, it was super funny.
Oh. Okay.
You ask a question and he's just going to answer you a little bit late.
Yeah, he'll just answer me. But well, Jake is very careful with his words. Okay? So
time delay.
Yeah, he likes to process what he's saying.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Which is even more wild because of what he's saying, the content of it, you'd think.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, anyway. So the point is, people are always saying that I don't like this show. And the truth of the matter is,
we don't all have dicks in our mouths like you faggot.
Jake, wow. Jake is really, really offensive. I might have to rethink.
I don't like him.
Yeah, I don't like him. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just waiting for him to say something else, honestly.
I know, yeah. You never know when Jake's going to pop in.
Also, the vaccines aren't real.
Jake. No, has anyone said the vaccines aren't real? They say the virus isn't real. No one said that the vaccines aren't real.
They're real, Jake.
Yeah. No, I've never heard someone say...
masks aren't real.
Yeah, masks aren't real. I've never heard anyone say that. So, okay. So, anyway, people are always saying that...
So you like the show?
I know
my science. Jack off.
Okay. I don't give me
Jake, we're going to need you out of this for a while. Anyway, people are always saying, I don't like the show, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is, I just call balls and strikes. That's what I call, right? I'm going to say this right here. I'm going to say this right now. And I'm only judging it based on All-Stars. It's only an All-Stars thing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is the strongest episode of RuPaul's Drag Race since All-Stars 2.
Agreed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
it's the best cast since All Stars 2.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And then the other thing too is, and I'm going to talk more about this later. I really like that there's a perspective on this show. And I'm going to go way in depth in this later, but there's a perspective on this show that has changed fundamentally because we have winners. And I'll give the headline, and the headline is. When you have the normal season, you have girls who this is their shot to make a mark and affect their careers. Then for the other All-Stars, you have people who were on, they're more confident, but they have something to prove. But this is one, and this is what makes it great, where they're validated. They don't need that validation. So they're not going to be eliminated. So they're very confident and they like to take risks. And and so it makes for a refreshing, great, fantastic show. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It feels like a time capsule, sort of, how you've got, like, oh, this queen, remember when she was crowned, there was a pandemic. This queen, when she was crowned, it was, you know, before there were live reunions. It was like, yeah, really fun to see them all mixed together.
Yeah, anyway.
You call balls? More like suck balls.
Oh, okay, Jake.
Well, Jake, that was first of all hanging fruit.
Well, also, that was, like, 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, Jake.
The one thing I didn't like about this show, you had a good one, but and I'm not saying I don't like it. I will say it was the episode was so strong, I struggled to find something I didn't like. But if I'm going to say something, and this is truly an I don't know how I feel, but I don't know how I feel about this lip sync song.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't a hate, but it was definitely a choice.
I was, as soon as they said, you know, Old MacDonald, I was like typing in my notes. I was like, oh, the one thing I hated was this song. And then it started and I was like, hang on a tick. And I was like, this is actually really fun.
Yeah, I might need to revisit it a third time, you know, and because, you know, first time for fun, I was like, what? Second time for notes. And I was like, what? But maybe next time I'll say that's all done. Oh, can I please tell you something? I know that they've dropped two episodes. But I have intentionally not watched the next one. I only want to cover this one, not knowing what happens on the next one.
Sure. Well, Shay dies. So it's pretty hard to avoid.
Yeah. Well, oh my God. Spoiler alert. Anyway, let's move on here.
Let me tell you one thing I don't like about this show. You two faggots.
Okay, Jake. First of all, it's two things. But very uncalled for, as I'm going to say. Very uncalled for. All right, so let's do the workroom entrances, Nathan. By the way, everyone at home, you might hear rattling in my mouth. That's because I'm blowing a robot. No, I'm also, I have lozenges.
Blowing Jake.
Yeah, blowing Jake the robot in my mouth. But I have lozenges, so you might hear like, you know, when I went to go see, you know, you ever hear of this, who's that nasty bitch from Frozen?
Idina Menzel?
Yeah, her.
Well, is she nasty?
Yeah, I'll tell you a story here. I'll tell you a story right now, actually. I'll tell you on the air. I don't care because she was horrible. I went to go see her in this If Then shit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I went with a friend who's kind of well connected. So afterwards, we went backstage. And it was literally just on the stage, me, the leads. Well, not Idina Menzel yet. So whoever, the one that Kevin Spacey fucked and the other guy. It was the three of us and my friend. And as a joke, I was carrying Idina Menzel's purse from the show, you know?
Okay.
And then, when I walked backstage, there was literally a throng of people out there waiting to see Idina Menzel. I'm talking hundreds, right? So she comes out and they're like, oh, this is Joe. And she's like, oh, whatever, right? Oh, by the way, the point was that she had a lozenge in her mouth the whole time she was singing. Anyway. That was the point of that story. But then she goes, oh, there's a bunch of people waiting outside for you. And she goes, where? And they point in one direction. She goes, I'm going that way. And she went the other direction.
Oh, Idina. That's all?
She's saying, I gotta go.
I still love her.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I love Idina. I met her once, not backstage or anything. I stage doored when she sang at the Sydney Opera House. And she was nice for like 3 seconds as she whizzed past.
Yeah. First one in is Shea Coulee, 33 years old, finalist from season 9, winner of All-Stars 5. Your thoughts on Shea Coulee, all things Shea Coulee.
I thought she came in looking fantastic. Mm-hmm. I loved that orange look. I thought she missed the mark, though, when she went up to the mirror and she said, aren't you glad to see me? And I'm like, bitch, it's orange. You glad to see me? Like, that's
your
own punchline, doll. Yeah, I was sort of, with the returning All-Stars, I was sort of less excited to see them than I were others. Like, I feel like we did just see a lot of Shay.
Yeah.
But she does always bring it. So, I mean, I'm happy she's there, ultimately. Yeah. What about you?
Okay, so look, this bitch can do the competition, and she is a fierce drag queen. I will not take that away from her. And we all thought she, we all thought deservedly she was going to win season 9. We all did. I mean, I'm not taking her skills away from her, okay? But I don't know what it is. Ever since All Stars 5, I've just had a bad taste in my mouth. I don't like the way she was on there, you know? And then remember it finished airing right at the beginning of COVID. And she had that. So we're in the thick of it. We don't know what's going on. And she has like a maskless party in her apartment or someone's apartment. And was very like, when people called her out, she was like, fuck you. You know, like, I just feel like you know what I feel like? And I'm being honest. I feel she's the vixen but knows when to turn it on, turn it off.
Oh my God.
I really do. I think she's the vixen with more media savvy. And so,
oh yeah, she's savvy.
Mm-hmm. So I'm finding it hard to root for her. I'm not going to lie. And she's the only contestant I'll say that about. But I will say it's funny because then she gives her credits and they're real. Like, oh, I was in the Three Vanity Fair, this and blah, 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 blah. And then we're going to talk about Jada Essence Hall in a second. Jada Essence Hall was like, I waved to everybody in a car parade or something. Yeah. And I'm like, this is really embarrassing, you know, but anyway. All right. Next down the runway, we have Jada Essence Hall. She's 35 years old. She's the winner of season 12. And she said, hey, bitches, she's back. Your thoughts on Jada Essence Hall, Nathan Brown?
Again, I feel like we just saw her, but we saw less of her. So I'm interested to see what she's done now that she's been a winner. Mm-hmm. Well, even though you just said nothing, but like in the elevation of the looks, having more money, that respect. So I enjoy Jada.
Yes, true. I will say, now look, we've only gotten in the beginning, and just like Monet with the sponge, you're going to get a little bit of a pass, but they're not better.
Look over there.
Oh, exactly.
It's going to be.
If she does that, I will be really, really like, ugh, this fucking bitch. But right now she hasn't. And first episode, I don't know what's happening. Season 2 or anything like that, right? I'm just saying I'm kind of sick of it. So that's all I'm saying.
Look over here.
Well, next.
Wait. Oh. Wait, he's giving us the finger. You know, Jake, fuck you.
Jake.
I know. Anyway.
I didn't even know he had fingers.
Yeah, he does, I guess. Well, maybe that's not a finger.
Oh, Jake.
Would you blow Jake, Nathan? I want you to be honest.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, there's something kind of sexy about his sass. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like a man that makes you work for it.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
All right, next. I was also going to say about Jade Essence Hall is, and again, this comes up later about her insecurity, but I kind of feel sorry for her, especially because I know she's insecure about it, but it's kind of the truth that her season 12 win does seem a little cheap, and it's not her fault. It, you know, it's the fault of two things. One, COVID, but two, it's also the season of the Sherry Pie drama. So they had to cut that shit up. And, it's just kind of, I don't know. There's just something about, it's not her fault. And she was fierce that season, but I don't know. Yeah.
But she needs to come in hot band like, yeah, I'm a winner. And just set that narrative.
Yeah. She's done it once.
Some of these other queens
now
are so good at narrative setting for themselves.
They really are.
She needs to pick that up.
All right. Next in, we have Evie Oddly. She's 28. She's the winner of season 11. She says, don't mind me. I just even the odds. Your thoughts on Evie Oddly, Nathan Brown?
She's my least favorite. I don't like her laugh. I don't like her little faces that she pulls. I think she's a good lip syncer. Her sorry, not sorry lip sync, I watch all the time, and I love her flexibility, but I just don't like her as a person. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, I'll say it again. She is fucking smoking hot. I'm just not going to take that away from her as a boy.
Oh, is Evie 11 years old?
Okay. I will also say that the laugh thing is really annoying. Okay. And I hate it. And it's a thing that she's, so it seemed like, it seems so fake. You know, like she probably has a real variation on that laugh, but it's just really annoying and seems very, very contrived. Next, Trinity the Tuck. She's 36 years old. She was the finalist from season 9. She was the co-winner of All Stars 4. She said, body, body, and more body. The Holy Trinity has arrived. Your thoughts on Trinity the Tuck?
Trinity is like, I don't know. She might be a terrible person, but I love her. We're, like, there might be a range of COVID issues, faking personalities on Reddit.
I forgot about that.
Enjoy her. But if I just look at her on the show, I enjoy Trinity.
Hold on. Let me explain to everybody at home. There is a conspiracy theory, but I think there's some evidence behind it. There was a person who was poking around Reddit making these incendiary comments named She Devil by Night. And I can't remember how, because I've forgotten since then, but the Reddit sleuths figured out that it was Trinity the Tuck pretending to be this person named She Devil by Night. And so I forgot about that. Yeah.
I get it. I was Griffey for a period of time there.
Oh, wait, you were Griffey?
Yeah, I wanted to ice Taylor out, so I came up with an alter ego.
my take for Trinity the Tuck is that every time I see her, every time she's on any show, I underestimate her. The first time she was on, I forget how strong she is. She doesn't do a good job of making a real, maybe that's a good thing in her favor. She always makes herself seem like an underdog, but she's actually probably one of the strongest competitors there. But she lures you into thinking that she's not as strong as you are.
And I think she just understands what's being asked of her.
Yes.
So she can rise to the challenge because she gets it.
Yes, she gets it more than she lets on. Well, I think, you know, take for instance as a moment in the episode where Shay's looking at the mirror admiring how beautiful she herself is, right? And Trinity says she is beautiful and how she is jealous of her and fakes her. But, like, Trinity doesn't really – I guess she does brag about it. I don't know. There's something really good that she does in terms of this competition that I'm like, that's one sneaky, savvy bitch. Monet Exchange is 32 years old. She's only 32. She came in sixth place season 10, and she was one of the co-winners with Trinity of All Stars 4. She said, you know what they say, Monet changes everything. Your thoughts on Monet Exchange?
I love Monet. And I think similar to Trinity, she gets the show and she gets how to like say whatever she wants in confessionals. And at the time you might be thinking, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like what is that reality? But she's just putting it out there because she's strategic and she backs it up with good looks, good personality. I'm a fan.
Yeah. All I have, and this is a compliment, by the way, that I don't have more. I just said she has great charisma.
Oh, yeah.
She has great charisma. Yeah. All right. Jinx Monsoon she's only 34 years old. She's the winner of season 5, and she came in and went, line. Your thoughts on Jinx Monsoon, Nathan?
I love her. I think she's the winner for me. Mm-hmm. I think she's the funniest of them all by far, and it's so good to see her after so much time has passed and to like see how her drag character has developed and just grown over the years, because I think she's always known who she is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just happy to have her back.
Yeah.
What about
you? Yeah, it's, you know, you forget because it's been, you know, 10 years, 9 or 10 years since she's been on.
Yeah.
And you forget and she's even gotten better. But what a strong competitor she is, you know? And yeah, I think she's going to be a force. I really do know nothing. That is my new thing. In fact, I think I said this before. I haven't even watched episode 2. I have no idea what's happening. If I'm gagged like a person who doesn't really watch the show is, and I think that's best for this podcast. So I don't know what happens. But I would say, God, Jinx, and we'll talk about Raja in a second. I don't see a world how those girls aren't in the top 4. But we'll see. Raja, we can maybe see, but Jinx, she really is. She's not really a look queen, but she is so strong. I will say this, and I'm just going to call it.
Balls and strikes.
What the fuck is going on with her confessional hair?
Yeah.
Her hair in the confessionals is awful.
I think you take eyebrows off a person and it can really change the whole face.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's just, yeah, she looks like Drop Dead Fred. She does.
A name I haven't heard in a very long time. The movie with Phoebe Cates. Who played Drop Dead Fred? Was it some sort of Australian star?
I don't know, actually.
God, that was like an obscure late 80s, early 90s movie, right?
I used to watch that all the time as a kid, especially when they threw poo everywhere. And he was like, poo!
Yeah, Drop Dead. Wow, I haven't heard that in forever. But yes, that's exactly what she... Or may I bring up Australian comedy icon, Yahoo Serious.
You may.
Yeah. So there's something going on. I don't know what it is. And
I think it's the eyebrows.
I think you're right. I think it is the eyebrows. It is the eyebrows. But just why not wear... Because she has amazing wigs. Just wear one of those amazing wigs all the time. I don't know.
Oh, whack on a better hat or something. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember she wore a hat all of season 5.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Raja is 47 years old. She's the winner of season 3. And she said, did somebody call for an icon? Your thoughts on Raja?
I'm also excited to see Raja back, just like with Jinx. Although I feel like... she might fade in the shadow of her legacy because as I think you and Adam covered season 3 and I listened to that recently and it's not as good as you remember.
Yeah.
And so I just worry that it might have been maybe too much time has passed. Who knows? She did good this episode though, but
she did.
I don't know.
And I don't know how she would do on the Snatch Game or any of the acting ones. I think she can bring a look and that was important in season 3. But yeah. I don't know about the other stuff. Yeah. We'll see. I mean, look, I don't really have much to add. I mean, she's very sick. That look is sickening. She's sickening.
Yeah.
And we're going to get some great looks. Well, she's never going to be eliminated. So for one thing's for certain, we will get some sickening looks out of her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we'll get. All right. Next we have in the Vivian. She's 30 years. She's only 30. How come all these queens seem older?
They're lying to us.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, no, I think Raja's really 47.
There's no way that bitch is 30.
No. She's the winner of Drag Race UK Season 1. She came in, she said, do you just love a long, hard, stiff competition? Sorry, girls, I was feeling horny. Your thoughts on the Vivian?
I really like that the Vivian is there. I think it's good to have some international presence. I'm upset Keita Mean isn't there to represent Down Under, but I will. I think she is... funny and she's gorgeous. I don't know if I wanted her to win season 1 of UK, but I think she'll do well here if she gets over the fact that, you know, she's from an international competition. Doesn't mean that you're inferior. Get over it and get on with the competition because I think you'll do well.
Yeah. I think she looked fantastic. She's lost a tremendous amount of weight and it looks good on her. Mm-hmm. I also think kind of like Trinity, I think she's one that the girls will sleep on.
Yeah.
But well, this is only in terms of her for money. I don't think she'll win a lip. I don't see how she wins a lip sync. The British can't lip sync. But that's not important. That's only important for money. So she can get the badge, but she might not get the lip sync win money.
Do you think when Rue explained the whole Legendary Legends badge, she was like, not another fucking badge. Not again.
Can I just make some fucking money, please?
Please. Yeah. Please.
Yeah. And then finally, another queen entered the workroom, face hidden behind a hat. And it turned out to be Raven. What were your thoughts of this Raven? Now, we later learned it's a fake out, but when Raven came in, what were your thoughts, Nathan?
Well, immediately I was like, this can't be happening. It must be a bit. But then it went on a bit long, and I was like, oh my God, is it not a bit? And then when it became a bit, I was like, oh my God, it's a bit.
That was my trajectory
of emotions.
Yeah, I was wondering when I was thinking, like, is this not a bit? I was thinking, like, how could RuPaul fairly... I mean, this is her personal makeup artist. Like, how could you fairly judge her? You know, but no, but turned out to be a bit. Look, the episode's so strong. It's not even that bad of a bit. I'll give him credit for trying. It was good. I'm not mad at it.
Yeah. You know? I just would have been gagged if it was actually Tyra Sanchez. Like, I would have loved that. It would have been a much more interesting, like, Untucked season. Because, I don't know, did you watch Untucked?
No, I haven't watched Untucked yet. Is it good?
Well, no. If you're not watching Untucked, you're still getting the full story because nothing else is happening.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they need to, now that we've changed the All-Stars format, we need to change the Untucked format and actually have it maybe at the end of the episode when they're actually untucking and they've got something to talk about after someone gets blocked.
Yeah.
Because for this one, they were just like, we don't know who's going to win. We don't know who's going to get blocked.
So, oh, well.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's no stakes. It
needs to be a bit more dramatic.
Yeah. Anyway, all right. Well, why don't we do this, Nathan? Why don't we take a break? And when we come back, we will cover the rest of the episode. We'll be right back.
chat. Dun, 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 dun.
All right. Well, thank you, Jake, for doing that. That was amazing. All right. Well, Jake didn't actually come back right now. Jake is going to... Jake, why don't you take up the next part of the script? Here we go.
Next, RuPaul enters the workroom to start the competition. Before RuPaul starts, she boots Raven from the workroom in one of those classic drag race gags we all love. Next, RuPaul lays out the rules of the game. No one will be eliminated. Instead, each week Ru will name the top two queens of the week, each receiving a legendary legend badge, and competing in a lip sync for a $10,000 tip and the power to block a fellow queen from winning a badge the next week. In the grand finale, the four queens with the most badges will compete in a lip sync smackdown for the crown, the title of Queen of All Queens, and a cash prize of $200,000.
All right, Nathan, what were your thoughts on everything that happened in that part of the show?
My first thought is that Jake is so polite when he's just talking about the show. When he's talking about us, that he's an asshole.
He takes his job very, very seriously. Very, very seriously. He does not mess around when it comes to his job. It's everything else, though, is where he is a problem.
Yeah, it's called being professional, Jake. Asshole.
Oh, wow, Jake.
Jake. Wow.
So anyway, your thoughts on everything that happened there?
Well, they're sort of just laying out the rules, which did take a few minutes for my mind to really turn all of that over. There was a lot of talk about blocking and badges, but the fact of the matter is they're all there. Some sort of system's in place. Doesn't really matter, does it?
No, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. And they act like they didn't know what was going to happen. Like, what?
Oh, they all signed up knowing that they wouldn't be eliminated.
Yeah, like, what? Yeah, of course. All right, let's move on. Jake, why don't you do your magic again? Here we go.
Next, RuPaul announces the library is open for this season's reading challenge. The girls take turns shading each other, but Jinx comes out on top, winning the mini challenge. For this week's maxi challenge, each queen will write a verse and all will collaborate on choreography for a performance of RuPaul's new song Legends.
Oh, God, those songs. Yeah. What were your thoughts on... let's go through the reading challenge. I don't know if you have notes per person, but do you have the notes per person or just in general?
I do. First of all, we need to acknowledge that Bruno was there and he was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I wish he stayed there with the pillow with the glasses on it.
He should have. I was thinking the same thing, too. Like, why didn't they have him stay there? Yeah.
It's so good to have him in the workroom.
Does Bruno have an OnlyFans?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I thought you would know. Producers, Zach and Nate and Luke, can you get on that, please? All right. Let's go on the reading challenge first. Shea Coulee, your thoughts on everything Shea Coulee, her reading challenge.
Well, you're the comedian. Do you want to tell me?
Well, you're the co-host.
Okay, you've got COVID. All right, let me say. Okay, the jokes were well constructed. Back when I was in the Sunday company, I learned about jokes. So I am an authority on this. I think with Shay, the only joke I found that good was Vivian as the diversity hire. I thought that was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of Shay?
Oh, it wasn't good. It was not good at all.
No.
They were horrible jokes.
You didn't like the diversity hire?
Not even that one. No. No, I didn't think they were good at all. All right. Next, Jada Essence Hall.
Jada, I mean, I laughed, but the only joke that I enjoyed really was that Trinity is the realest bitch from the knees down. I don't even know if it makes sense, but the delivery was fun.
It wasn't good, and I don't know what a rosebud is. What's a rosebud?
That's when your butthole gets so banged out that it sort of prolapses, I believe. Not from experience or anything, Jake. Mm-hmm. Don't get any ideas. But it didn't make sense in the context of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, next we have Evie Oddly. Did I say Jada wasn't good? Yeah, I did. Okay, Evie Oddly.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. I didn't think Evie was funny at all.
I put meh.
I can't remember any of her jokes.
I went meh. I said.
Yeah.
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 Okay. Trinity the Tuck. Your thoughts on Trinity the Tuck?
I thought Trinity was a bit meh as well. The joke about the floss with the thong and the lips and the big I don't know. It took me a while to deconstruct that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What did you think?
Not good. Wait. The Raja boot joke was good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was good. She had one good joke. Raja boot.
Yeah.
Monet exchange.
Monet I liked. I thought the joke about them being like Jinx's teeth, some big, some small, three of them are white. Like, I thought that was quite funny and clever.
All right, I'll give you that. She was all right to me. Jinx Monsoon.
I laughed the most with Jinx, with the Raja two faces putting the good makeup on the other face, Bob being very talented.
Mm-hmm.
She's a funny queen.
So good. Deserved the win. So, so good.
Yeah, totally.
So good. Raja.
I was a bit disappointed with Raja because she just called them boogers. But spelt it out, so it was kind of low effort, and I'm like, oh, that's it. I mean, like, the delivery was great, but then there was no jokes.
I loved it.
Did you?
I did. I loved it.
Why?
I don't know. I just did. I thought it was super funny.
Nathan, don't trust Joe's opinion. Joe judging comedy is like Lori choosing the NAACP awards.
Okay. Well, Jake, no one calls them the NAACP awards.
Jake, it was a nice try.
Yeah, nice try, Jake. Yeah, anyway. Okay, finally, the Vivian. Your thoughts on the Vivian?
I thought she was only okay. I don't really remember any standouts from Vivian.
Yeah. To me, the right person won. Jinx Monsoon was won. She was the right person to win. Let's move on. We're going to throw to Jake, who for some reason is very professional when it comes to this.
RuPaul takes the girls to the main stage where Naomi Campbell shocks the girls and walks the runway. Next, each queen walks the runway for Naomi Campbell and receives individualized feedback on their walk.
All right, Nathan Brown, your thoughts on the whole Naomi Campbell gag. Now, did you know about this?
I didn't know who it was walking down the runway.
You didn't know who it was walking down the runway?
They were all reacting and I was like, who dat?
Oh, really? I immediately knew who it was. Oh, my God. That is so
I know. I'm a little embarrassed, but I'm more of a Naomi Smalls fan than a Naomi Campbell fan.
I'm not even a Naomi Campbell fan because she's a horrible human being, but I do know how much the girls admire her and look up to her. And I was like, oh, this is gaggy for these drag queens.
Not a clue.
Not a clue who she is. Okay.
I know. Well,
she goes.
I mean, I know the name. I know who she is. But when I saw her, I didn't know who that was.
Yeah, and she truly is very famous for her walk. So for her to be giving a masterclass on walking was everything. What were your thoughts on this whole segment?
I mean, it was a little bit pointless. But yeah, when at the end of it, like her and Shay having that moment, like it was good to see it.
Yeah.
Some of their walks are really good. Some need a little bit of work. Mm-hmm. I don't know why the Vivian was walking like, you know, when you see like toddlers and they're learning to walk and they have their like thumbs like hooked into their nappies.
Yes. Well,
she was doing that little saddle walk.
No. Nathan, I think you're right, but I think ultimately it was really just about Shay.
Hey, Nathan, we're in America. What the fuck are nappies?
Oh,
you don't know what nappies are?
No, but that was really rude though. I'm sorry, Nathan.
Yeah, fuck off, Jake.
Yeah.
Get a fucking dictionary. Google it, Jake. Aren't you an AI?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, what are nappies?
Diapers.
Oh. Didn't know that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. It was great to see Shay get as emotional as she did. You could tell it was very genuine, that it really meant a lot to her. And it was, I thought it was a really cool moment. I don't know if they're saying in the chat room, the people, was this known already this was going to happen? I was truly gagged. So, I don't know. All right, here we go. Let's go to the next part of the episode.
The queens did drag in the workroom and get to work on their verses. Raja wants to write about being drag royalty, and Jinx will harness her horny middle-aged MILF character. Jada is excited to take risks since no one is going home, Ivy's legacy is going against the grain, and the Vivian has admired American drag for years and is feeling the pressure to shine in the competition.
All right. What do you think about everything that happened in the workroom? You know, we get to a stage now, and I'm going to let you go in a second there, Nathan. But, we are getting to a stage here where the show is going to be very interesting and very compelling, but it's not going to be for drama, I don't think. So far, it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, there's not a lot to say, but it doesn't mean it's bad. What were your thoughts here in the workroom?
No, I agree. There's nothing much to say, but I just enjoyed watching them interact and chat and have little in-jokes. Like, all these people have worked together for years. It was just fun to, like, be a fly on the wall. Yeah. And it's not always fun to be a fly on the wall with Drag Race. So I was really enjoying it. It felt fresh, even though it's the same thing that happens all the time, you know? But it was just a good bunch of people, so I'm happy.
Yeah, it was good. There's a part where they say, Trinity, you're the choreographer. Then we go to the main stage, and she's not the choreographer. I didn't know what that – because they're like, we're not kidding, you're the choreographer. But then it never materialized. It was a very strange moment. And then – but I want to talk about Jada saying talking about taking risks. And I actually think that's really, really great and a really, really important thing she said, because I think it's what makes this entire show so far amazing. And I mentioned at the top of the show is you have queens who, like I said, when queens are going onto the show for the first time, they're nervous. They're really, really trying to project the image they want to be out there. They're trying to establish themselves. This is very important to them. And there's that energy. And I would even argue they've become so self-aware. It's why the flagship show has suffered as much as it is, right? Then you have All Stars, where they've been on the show, but now they have something to prove. They still want the validation from RuPaul. But these queens are showing you that once they have the validation and once they have the confidence that they've established their persona, they've worked out there, they've worked with each other, they have a rapport, they have their presence. Everything is working like a like an oiled machine. And they can go out there and take risks, and they don't worry. They don't, because honestly, I'll be honest with you, I think even if there was elimination, we would see the same thing, you know. But I do think getting rid of the eliminations eases the tension a bit.
Totally.
But it makes it for very compelling television, because now they can be their authentic selves. And I would argue that that is what we saw for the first, up until season 7, season 8, that is what we were seeing. Are these queens, we still had a number of queens who before, that they existed before RuPaul's Drag Race existed. So their careers at that stage didn't need RuPaul's Drag Race to make or break their careers. And it's why the shows were so good. And I think seasons 5, 6, and maybe you could even say 7, but definitely 5 and 6 is the apex of those two things meeting, of those two elements meeting, of people who realize the importance of Drag Race, but they've already established their personas and their careers, and they had established drag personas before this. What you see now is you see queens who they've grown up on RuPaul's Drag Race. They, their whole essence of being a drag race, a drag queen, has been shaped by RuPaul's Drag Race. So RuPaul's Drag Race in the early years was just a feather in the cap of those girls. Now it is the cap. And so there's so much at stake now for these girls that there's almost a wag the dog element to the show. And this, the brilliance of this episode shows it. It is not a production problem, and it's not RuPaul's tired or anybody's tired or I hate the show or anything. It's a casting problem. And I don't know how you fix it, because I don't even blame the casting directors. I think that the drag queens they're seeing are just too savvy. And with All Stars, I'm going to let you talk because I can't talk right now. Sorry.
What do I totally get what you're saying. And I think it does come down to casting. And like the newest seasons, like, are we running out of queens to cast? I'm sure we're not. Or maybe we're not looking in the right spots. But when you put them up against the older crop, you're like, wow, there's a disconnect. And I think you're on the money there. And it's just nice to be able to see this bunch of queens just having fun with each other.
Yeah. Okay.
Hurry up, idiot.
Okay. Calm down, Jeff. Yeah, I think it's ultimately, I think, like I was saying and you were saying whatnot, the problem with this is it shows you like, oh, we need better queens. And to answer your question, I do think they exist. I do think they exist. But either they don't want to go on the show or... Yeah, I think they just don't want to go on the show. Or the show doesn't want them. The show I think you're going to need to go for older queens like a Tamisha Iman, and I don't know how many of them wanted or whether the show wants to have them on. I don't know. That's a good question. Mm. That's a good question for the casting people. Because there is an element of like, well, this is a show for young people. I wish they would have like a seasoned queens season or something like that.
Yeah. And maybe like if you do have a main show with a different format or some changes, then you would get a Jackie Bate and a Coco Peru getting involved, even though they don't need the platform.
Well, they could do this format.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I'd love that.
And I think they would do this format. I think they would maybe this is a test run for that, where you would get like a Jackie Beat or a Coco Peru or a Lady Bunny or anything like that. Yeah, I think that would be a fantastic
season. Yeah, they don't want to end up like a Kelly Mantle who comes in with like a profile and then gets shat on and kicked out.
Yeah.
Like who would sign up for that when you don't need to?
Yeah, they should probably bring Kelly Mantle back for that. All right, let's go over to Jake and let's go to the next part now.
Back on the main stage, the girls attempt to work together to choreograph one cohesive performance. Jinx wants to form a clump, but Raja sees potential in a rainbow formation. Trinity notes there are too many ideas at once and nominates Shay as choreographer. The group agrees, and a routine quickly takes shape.
What were your thoughts on this choreography moment, Nathan?
Well, someone had to take over, so I'm glad Shay took over because... Mm-hmm. Ultimately, the number was good. I mean, you can't go wrong with a deity line with the arms. Mm-hmm. Always effective.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, and I understand some of the other queens being like, I don't want to choreograph. Like,
yeah,
I wouldn't want to do that. So let someone else do it. Great.
Well, I'll be honest with you. There was a part where they were like, oh, my God, there's too many cooks in the kitchen. That might have been fine. But I actually think this is a mistake on the editor's part here is... Yes, I could see as an editor being nervous that they all got along too well and so it would be boring. But actually, in this case, going back to what we were saying, I actually found it very interesting to listen to them collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the listening to the collaboration was super interesting. Yes, they needed someone in charge, but they were trying to paint it as like, oh, it's this like really confusing, not awful, but like, oh, isn't this crazy? And I'm like, no, I think that's just when you have a bunch of people who are very talented, what it's like when they try to collaborate. I didn't feel anybody was being disrespectful. I didn't feel anybody was trying to one-up another. It felt like a true collaboration among people who respected each other. I'm also trying to hypnotize you and get out.
You can't do choreograph a dance, like have seven people being the leader anyway.
Yeah.
Like you can collaborate all you want, but you do need someone to at least direct the ideas. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. Any other thoughts on this choreography bit?
No.
Okay. Very good. Let's go over to the runway. Take it away, Jake.
It's runway day and the queens get ready to strut their stuff. The queens discuss strategy and agree that targeting the fiercest queen makes the most sense. Monet and Trinity, who share a crown, put to bed any concerns about a rivalry. They form an alliance and promise not to block each other. Later, Jada shares her insecurities about the COVID limitations from her season.
Mm-hmm. All right, your thoughts on everything that happened on runway day.
I think the blocking conversation was interesting because as we've seen in previous All-Star seasons, you'd have the queens who are reticent to eliminate a queen that's popular. Like we saw that with like the Trixie season.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think fans will bounce back if someone gets blocked. Like who gives a shit? Like it's just a bedazzled plunger. Like it's not career ending if you block someone and you have to block someone. So I think that's good and that's interesting. And of course, you will block the stiffer competition. You're not going to block someone because they didn't let you borrow a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I think while it was a confusing concept to begin with, I think it'll take us down into an interesting territory as we go on.
Well, yeah, like, also, do you agree? Yeah, yes. And you won't have the rancor before because they're not going to leave your screen. So if you're a big Jada Essence Hall fan, she's still going to be there every week. You're never going to lose your week of seeing Jada Essence Hall and what she was going to bring to the runway, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right, it might be tempered a little bit. I'm very curious to see how it goes when we get to the top four, but then ultimately they can blame that on RuPaul.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I mean, it does still all come back to RuPaul.
Yeah. But what's great, too, you know, I didn't even think about this. What's great about the way they're doing it, and because there's no one's getting eliminated, and everybody will be there week after week, is you're probably going to see the least producer involvement that we've ever seen. Because, yeah. A, you're not going to need the producers to get involved because, in terms of the workroom, because these girls know the drill and they know how to make great television. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
B, they don't have to try and shape the storyline about who stays home and who goes home and who doesn't. They're always going to be there every week. So there's going to be very little producer involvement at all, you know?
And like with the lipstick in their dress, like sometimes it was like, that girl did not win the lip sync. And Ru just picked them to win the lip sync because he knows who's got the lipstick.
Yeah.
So we don't have that.
Yes, we don't have that at all. Yeah.
I do think it's interesting how... sorry, this might be jumping ahead. No. It's just a side note. It's interesting how when the girls get ready to go and lip sync, they don't know who's in the top already. So some of them will get changed out of their runway looks, thinking that they might be in the tops, which that fucks with them a little bit. And something's got to fuck with them, so it's great.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, because they go to Untucked, they don't even know who won either.
This episode, Jinx and Trinity got changed into a lip sync outfit just in case. Like, how embarrassing to get changed and then not have to lip sync, poor things.
Yeah, oh my god, yeah. Someone should tell Jinx to change into another wig.
But in this segment, I also enjoyed seeing Trinity and Monet get along. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but I just felt like so much closure just seeing them chat. Because I feel like after their double crowning, there was like a us versus them narrative between them. And it's just nice to see that that's not a thing.
Yeah. No, I do like to see this. And I also kind of like them because, again, it's fun. And it's not. It's who cares if they have an alliance about blocking? It's kind of fun. Yeah. This is a very. It's made the show fun again. I really. Yeah. I can't because I'm sick. I don't think it's coming across. I love this episode. I give it a 10 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. I said since All Stars 2, I think it's better than most All Stars 2 episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, so, and it's like, I know you're not much of a Housewives guy, but they did a real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip recently where they got girls from different franchises and threw them all together in like an island resort. And that was the same, I'm getting the same vibe where it's just like, oh, it's just fun to be with these people together who I never thought would be together.
Yeah, I've never understood the All-Stars thing, which is, and I've always compared it to real sports All-Stars. So in baseball All-Stars... it's the same All-Stars every season. They just change in and out as they retire or they are injured or whatever. But it's pretty much the same All-Stars. It just slowly rotates. I don't understand why we don't have that on this All-Stars. It should always be, unless you won, there should be like a group of like, I don't know, make up a number, 40 or 50 girls who are like, you just know they're fantastic television. And you just cycle through them every few years. You move some in, move some out. But we see, like, you know, Detox every few seasons. And we see, well, I know Fifi won't come back, but she would be great. Come back. You know, Alyssa every few seasons. Not Juju every season.
Every season.
Not every season, but just every few. And you can mix and match them, you know, like accessories. And it'd be fantastic.
The thing is, it's a show about drag. Like, we don't need to overcomplicate it.
No.
Just enjoy.
We don't need to see India Farah on the screen or Mariah Balenciaga.
Yeah.
They weren't good TV then, and they're not good TV now. They're always going for the Tatiana thing, and I feel like that was like a one-time fluke. There might be someone else I'm missing, but I feel Tatiana was a one-time fluke.
Yeah, I'd be happy just to watch All Stars 2, the same cast, again.
I'd love to see Tatiana again. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring her back. Yeah. By the way, going back to what Jada was talking about, and I said it again. Mm-hmm. I know she says she feels insecure, but she feels like she has something to prove, and she has more to prove with these queens. I hate to say it. And it's, again, it's not her fault, but unfortunately, she does. She just does. We didn't get to see as much of her afterwards because of, and the same thing's true with Simone. Simone and her suffer from the same thing, is that COVID has, they're not headlining the gay pride events. They're not, I mean, they just sort of lived undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And these queens, they're well established. We know who they are. And I'm going to need to see more from Jada Essence Hall if you're going to want me to think she's better than Monet Exchange.
Yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. And it's great that she does have this opportunity now.
Yes.
But she's just going to have to just say it. The trick to the show is just say it, and by the way, it becomes reality.
I'm fully saying, I'm fully predicting that this season, because she's never going to go home, is probably the thing that she needed to make her an icon.
Totally.
She might not win, but I think it'll help reintroduce us to her and see, like, oh, that's why she won. I fully 100% predict that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the Maxi Challenge performance. I don't know if I have a thing for that. Let me see here. Oh, I do. Here we go. I mean, I don't know if Jake does.
Rue welcomes the judges' panel and then performs her song, Give Em What They Want. Next, the cast of All Stars 7 take the stage and perform Legends.
Okay, let's talk about RuPaul's bit, Give Em What They Want, and then stood there and gave us nothing of what we wanted. What were your thoughts?
This Cameron Diaz, she's taken a career break, and you can tell, because her acting skills have gone down.
Yeah.
When she said that she's a big fan of Rue's music,
I said, you are not believable in this moment,
Cameron Diaz.
Name two songs. Yeah, if I ever see Cameron Diaz, I'm going to be like, oh, hi, nice to meet you. Well, name two songs, Cameron Diaz.
Yeah.
Name two RuPaul songs.
Jealous of what? Is it Boogie? Is it Noogie? Quizzer.
The first words are peanut butter. What are the next words after that?
Yeah. The Rue song, you could cut it. It's not necessary. Mm-hmm. And the bit I did enjoy, though, just from the campy factor, was after it was over, we've got Rue delivering the announcement to the next part of the show, you know, and there's a backup dancer who's like holding a pose like for 5 minutes.
Yes. But also had a very nice bulge that I like staring at. Like Rue was,
and you know that it took Rue a long time to do that line.
Oh, I've seen her try and read. It's not good. But I was like,
Wayne is holding it with his bulge out.
And he's like, and he's doing that. Oh, by the way, RuPaul was too, at the end of the number, she was doing that. I'm like, what are you breathing hard from? You know, what are you breathing hard from?
We didn't get a body double this time.
Oh, that's right. Didn't we have that when she lip-synced against Michelle?
Yeah, the Christmas Queens.
Oh, that's right.
Joey, you breathe hard when you turn over in bed.
Okay, Jake, this isn't about me. I don't have a TV show where I'm pretending to be a dancer. And judging people.
Jake has a lot of insight, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. She sure does. Anyway. Okay, well now, what did you think of the All-Star 7 performing Legends?
Their song. Yeah, I thought it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Some of the performances, like Monet, I didn't catch a single lyric, but I was enjoying it.
Yeah.
And I thought Jinx was honestly the best one. She had the best lyrics.
Yeah.
So I was a bit surprised that she kind of got lumped in with the rest of them in the critiques.
Yeah.
What did you think? Any standouts for you?
No, it all seemed fine. I'll be honest with you. Like, again, and this is not criticism. They were, because I want to use the term they were all passable. And that's something I would have used for season, did we just have season, yeah, season 14?
Mm-hmm.
But it was more than passable, right? It was very good, you know? Mm-hmm. And I have no complaints about it. It was very entertaining. I really liked it. It contributed. Like, I was so happy to see each of them again. They all did a fantastic job. But in a weird kind of way where everything's good, there was nothing that was a standout for me. Maybe Evie's weird move at the end, but I know we're going to see her do it 99 times more this season.
Yeah.
So. But
we didn't see them record. Which sort of makes me think, like, did we already have this song in the can?
Yeah, because they also knew when they were choreographing it, they knew the other girl's lyrics.
Yeah.
There's a part where Evie said, like, oh, well, that you're, well, no, when, how about when Shay's choreographing Roger? She goes, well, you have that line about the be a deity, you know? So they seem to know each other's lyrics. And Evie said something too where I'm like, oh, they know each other's lyrics.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to giving them more time to practice so we get a better number, so go for it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. Which is probably what happened on this too. They usually take a weekend break in between. So maybe they filmed like the opening on a Friday and then they came back Monday. And, mm-hmm. and I'm not sure that they did, but maybe they did. All right. Well, it's time, Nathan, for our favorite part right here. It's time for the looks. Any big thoughts on the looks?
Well, let's just go through them quickly. I thought they all were actually really quite solid. I liked the theme, the I'm crowning theme. So mm-hmm. Raja, she came out in like a King Louis elevated drag from her Marie Antoinette look from her season, which I thought was clever. So I enjoyed that. Jinx did this queen regal look with the Angelina Jolie leg, which I thought was mm-hmm. fun. It was camp. It was nice to bring a little bit of humor to the look. Monet came out in this tracksuit with the crown in the wig, which was really cool. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get the tracksuit from the critiques later on. It helped me understand it a bit more. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, that's a bit of a mess, but I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And Trinity, she had that crushed velvet gigantic gown. I mm-hmm. thought that was incredible.
Yeah.
Like when we went to the wide shot and you see the length of that train, mm-hmm. I was impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Evie's look wasn't a huge fan. It sort of was like a really good drag on a dime challenge look, where she just grabbed crayons, constructed that look in a day. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's just because I don't like her as much. But her shoes were cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Vivian, I'm not really quite sure what that like burlap fairy look was, but I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Jada, I thought, had a fantastic wig. It was like the dreadlocks but up in a beehive. I thought that was great.
Mm-hmm.
She had some like ruffles dangling off with a bit of fabric in front of her, which I didn't love. It just looks like a panel of fabric, but it was good, but it was probably in the bottom half for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shay was wonderful. She had like ear prosthetics, which I thought was just like, stick a fork in me, I'm done. Like that won it for me, just that detail alone.
Yeah.
So, did you have any thoughts on those looks?
You want a wide shot? Try taking a pic of Joe and Lori together.
Okay, first of all, Jake, he was talking to me. That was very strange and uncalled for, but...
yeah.
Again...
A lot of body shaming for someone without a body.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Jake for you. Well. Okay, and those are the looks.
Yay!
Yay. Okay, anyway, all right, let's move on to the next part here.
On the main stage, RuPaul names Shay Cooley and Monet X change the top two All-Stars of the Week. They each win a Legendary Legend badge and battle it out in a lip sync for their legacies. The song? Old MacDonald by Ella Fitzgerald. After the lip sync, Shay Cooley is named the winner and uses the Platinum Plunger to block Trinity the Tuck. Nathan, any final thoughts on the episode?
Oh, good question there, Jake. Any final thoughts on the episode?
Yeah, thanks, Jake. I do think it's interesting how the judges were all being so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like they only said two negative things. One mm-hmm. was Evie's wig, mm-hmm. and the other was that Trinity didn't know her words. And mm-hmm. other than that, they were just blowing smoke up their butts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. And then they just started talking about their favorites. When the queens left the stage, they just talked about, like, a couple of people. They didn't even mention like Raja or Jada or Jinx, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And my main issue with this blocking and the plunger business. Yeah. So like a plunger as a tool, it unblocks a toilet, correct?
Yes.
And yet we're using it to block.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem well thought out.
No, but it's a funny, and you know what's so funny is you can tell they just went to the hardware store and spray painted it gold.
Yeah.
There was no effort whatsoever.
I did enjoy Shay when she won, just like walking down the line and they'd all say something funny and then
yeah,
she'd
that was
back
fun.
Like mm-hmm. it was a fun bit of pageantry, yeah. But like I was like, I don't know why it's a plunger.
Yeah, still don't know. What were they gonna do with it? Yeah, made no sense. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, let's call it a day. You know, we have for everyone listening, because they released two episodes tomorrow, Nathan and I are taping another episode. You guys are going to get it a few days later, but we're taping another episode. We're going to now start with having our guest, not Jake, right? Not Jake. We don't want him here.
No.
I hope you both die of AIDS in a house fire.
Okay, Lori.
Okay, well, that's a very good transition. Maybe Lori's Jake. Lori is going to be the special guest co-host. I actually have a clip. Jake has something to say to Lori.
Lori, will you please shut the fuck up with your no drag knowledge mouth?
Can you make Jake say, bitch, sit your ass down and shut the hell up, bitch?
Yeah.
Bitch, sit your ass down and shut the hell up, bitch.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Don't try me, little boy.
All right. Well, let's...
We could do a million of them.
We really could.
Them shoulders just... should match them hips, but they don't. All right. Just everything from that one untucked in season 5. Just load it all in.
Back rolls?
I love Jake. He's an asshole, but I love him.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode of RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Be sure to join us next week, and every week, as we continue to discuss, dissect, and deconstruct each brand new episode of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 7. So, for Nathan Brown and myself,
sashay away until next week.
Thank you for listening to RuPaul's Drag Race Recap. Have something to say? Leave us a voicemail at speakpipe.com/afterthoughtmedia or email us at progressorcap@afterthought.media. For more Drag Race and LGBTQ content, support us on Patreon at patreon.com/afterthoughtmedia. This episode was produced by Luke Stamen and Zach Birch. Nathan Brown has two other podcasts. The first is Breaking Down Bad Books and the other is called Bravo Bravo Effing Bravo. You can find those podcasts wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find Nathan on Instagram at NathanBrown90. Finally, follow Joe Bettens on Instagram at Joe Bettens. Drag Race Recap is an Afterthought Media podcast.